Good morning and welcome to Bethlehem. Tea and coffee will be served across in the hall as usual at the end of the service, so please do go across there to continue in fellowship and leaving the church free for anyone who would like prayer. Welcome Martin, who will be bringing us God's word later in the service. Thank you for all you've done for the setting up of the service. Birthdays. We have a number this week. We have Eric and Maggie Perkins, people who no longer come to Bethlehem, but they stay on our birthday list because they continue to receive our notices, so they can know we don't forget about them. Janine Godfroy and Brenda. So busy week this week. So we'll sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May God's love go with you. Happy birthday to you.
Hope you have a lovely day on Saturday, Brenda. Last night we had our film night, and I've given someone my order of service. I don't know, someone that's got the call to worship on.
That's got cool.
Thank you. Last night we had our film evening, which was Golda Meir, the Prime Minister of Israel in 1973 war, wasn't it? Yes. And that was quite interesting, to say the least. And our donations were in aid of Silkworth Lodge, and we raised £260 for them.
Wow.
So that was very good. Right, our call to worship. Isaiah prophesied about God's coming salvation when every wilderness would be transformed. And in Isaiah we read, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, in the haunt of jackals where they lie down. The grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." We can rejoice that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we can enjoy the Sabbath day as an oasis in time, no matter how bleak our wilderness may be at the moment. Let us pray. Father, as we gather today, may we feel the presence of you, our Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit among us in our worship, in our prayer, and in our hearing of God's word, and in the fellowship we shall enjoy together. Loving God, at the start of Lent, as we come with our stresses and fears, help us as we explore what it means to survive and thrive even in the most difficult of times. Thank you that you go before us and show us the way. Amen. And we're now going to sing two songs, Praise is Rising and Lift Him Up, Lift Him High.
Praise is rising, eyes on.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you that in Christ you have entered into our world. In him you have shared all the pressure, pain and temptation that being truly human brings. We praise you that we can have assurance that he fully understands all that it means to live in our world. He has lived our life, shared our emptiness, and experienced our limitations. He has walked where we walk, but he did not stumble. He has stood where we stand, but did not fall. He entered our wilderness, but did not give way. He faced our temptations, but did not give in. We praise you that in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, and on the cross, Christ has opened the way to victory and hope. We praise you that in his life, death, and resurrection, you are offering us a whole new way of life and a deeper, larger hope and an assurance of your presence forever. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who faced all the temptations that come to all of us. We thank you more for the assurance that in him, temptation can be defeated, that we can live victorious lives for him and through him. We thank you for those who have remained faithful to what they know to be true, even at the cost of the support of family and friends. We thank you for those who have faced all kinds of pressure and persecution for their faith in Christ, and for those who refuse to deny him as their Saviour and Lord. For those who have stood against injustice and oppression, for those who have faced deep disappointment, great frustration and temptation, but have preferred to walk with Christ rather than join the crowd. We thank you for the assurance that in the cross of Christ and in his resurrection, we can overcome all our trials and temptations through him who has won the victory. Amen. And we're now going to sing again, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Frank and Glynis to bring us our Bible readings, and then I'll hand over to Martin.
The first reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Second reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, the temptation in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all of their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thanks for your readings, and thank you, Ali, for leading us in our first part of the worship. And good morning to you. Well done, everybody. And and what can you say? Can you sing too many hallelujahs? I don't think so. Let us pray. Loving, forgiving God, we come before you now to confess that our lives are not what you would always want them to be. In so many ways, through what we say, what we think, what we do, we fail to live out the reflection of your Son, Jesus Christ. For this we are sorry. We have no excuses. We have no reason. But we recognize it is not as you would have us be. So forgive us. We do not want our lives to be ruined because of our sinfulness. We do not want to be forever weighed down by guilt. Renew us today by your Spirit. Remove the poor shadows of yesterday with the brightness of your presence. Cleanse our souls. Refresh our hearts. Purify our minds. Loving, forgiving God, keep us ever aware of the shadows that creep over us. Deliver us from self-deception, that we may forever be willing to come before you, to be reborn, to be renewed, to receive your forgiveness. And we give thanks that through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, all our failures can be forgiven. All our failures are forgiven. And we can be reconciled to you. Amen. Now, I know it's the period of Lent because on Tuesday, my wife was busily making pancakes. It's quite possibly her favourite time of the year. Pancakes with cheese, pancakes with lemon, pancakes with sugar, pancakes with just about anything, and Jane is happy. We actually met up in town that morning for a cup of coffee, and they were serving pancakes. So she had some of those as well. At the first retreat kitchen. In town. Yep. So it's Lent. Has anybody given up anything for Lent? Nobody. Time. I usually give up peas for Lent because A, I can't eat them because they don't agree with me, and B, I don't like them. There's no danger of me being tempted by those. Licorice all sorts, however, are a different challenge. If I try to give up those for Lent, there's a very good chance I'll fail. Temptation is all around us. And so often we see temptation as being something negative, on the edge of being doing something naughty. The option always seems to be do something pleasurable but wrong, or deny yourself enjoyment. Are you tempted by a meringue or a chocolate eclair? Quite possibly. Are you tempted by a cup of rice water? Probably not so much. So temptation often has a bad press, but I'm a glass half full sort of person. So in thinking about the readings today, I thought I'd have a look and see if I can find something positive about temptation. Embark upon a little journey of perhaps of discovery. See if we can find something else about our relationship with God. So firstly, I would say temptation shows us something very profound about our relationship with God. And it's simply that we're free. Free to choose. It is perhaps the most wonderful expression of God's love that we're free to choose. It was many years ago. I went around to see my nephews, Jared and Jordan. They were installed at the kitchen table, supposedly doing their homework. Janine was helping Jared, and I was left to help Jordan. Simple story. Write a story about a king. Write about what he looks like and what he does. Now, for those who know me well, I like to get involved. I was just about to give him a story, and then I listened. Coming from Jared and Janine was silence. Jared was thinking, and Janine was letting him think. I then realised that much as I was tempted to give Jordan a story, much as I wanted to give him some ideas, and then much as I wanted to correct his spelling and his grammar, I had to sit and wait to see how much he could do for himself. I could guide, but he had to ask for help. It wasn't my story, it was his story. My role wasn't to write the story, it was to support and guide. Correct the odd spelling, find the different adjective, but not to write it. Jordan needed to explore for himself, to discover. He had guidelines, but they're ones he was free to break. And it seems to me that's what God does for us. We're given guidelines, but we're free to deviate. And that's the most amazing gift we have. The freedom to follow or not. The freedom to explore or not. The freedom to take the consequences of our actions. As a father now, these years later, of two teenage boys, Peter and James, although I love them dearly and don't want to see them make mistakes, I know I can't wrap them up in cotton wool. They have to be free to follow my advice, or, as they're prone to do, not. They have to be free to make up their own minds about faith, about their role in the world. And so it's the very presence of temptation that shows we are free to choose. And it shows how much God loves us, that he is willing for us to explore every aspect of his creation. We can choose to live for the better. We can choose to love God despite what others say. We are free people, and we must never lose sight of that, because that's a gift God has given to us. So one aspect of temptation that's positive is that it shows we are free. But it also shows that we can expand our knowledge of God through our experience. In the gospel reading, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days of trial and testing. Just ponder that for a moment. Jesus spent 40 days, 6 weeks, long, lonely days and nights in the wilderness. He would surely have questioned his own mind at that time. Am I doing the right thing? Is this my calling? Over the years, I've been fortunate enough to do quite a bit of trekking to some fairly remote places. And it was on one of those little adventures. I'd spent 10 days trekking to base camp, and then 3 days on a mountain just above, and then 2 days stuck in a tent. The wind howls around you. The temperature drops. Everything goes in your sleeping bag, because if it doesn't, it freezes. And there are times when you begin to question your sanity. But all the same, on one of those 2 days, with the wind blowing, with it snowing, I went out just to get away and to think. And at those times, you do ask yourself, what's the point? What's the purpose of my being here? Those are questions we all ask at different times of our lives. Where's my life going? What's my purpose? But then, in my case, I looked around and saw the beauty of creation, of the mountains, of the people I was with. Jesus, in the wilderness, faced the same choices that we face. Do we accept God or not? Should he pack the whole thing in and go back to doing something else? So we see in this reading the humanity of Jesus. He was tested and tempted. And we learn from that God understands our experiences and our thoughts. So when we're tempted, we know too that Jesus understands our thoughts. You know those thoughts. No one will know. It's not really wrong. He or she, they'll have plenty of visitors. I won't bother, but just this once. Through all that time in the wilderness, we see Jesus faced with all those little decisions and all those big decisions. Should I do something? Should I not? And it's that humanity of God we sometimes don't recognize, and which certainly, I think, the secular world often doesn't see. We have God with us. We may think that no one understands our thoughts or our worries or our fears, but through the temptation of Christ, we see God as God with us. Not as some would have us, some remote entity sitting on a cloud, lording it over the people, but someone with whom we can have a personal relationship. God who understands our thoughts and concerns. Because as Jesus, he experienced those doubts and concerns too. So temptation reveals not only freedom, but the humanity of Jesus, that we are one with him and he is one with us. But we see something else. In the temptation of Jesus, we also see Jesus' response, the response we're called to make. Tell these stones to become bread. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. All this I will give you if you just bow down and worship me. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. We need to seek God in all that we do. What Jesus shows us in this reading is that when we're tempted, we're at the boundaries of our human knowledge and understanding. And at those times, more than ever, we need to commit ourselves to God. I'm sure when I mentioned temptation, it wouldn't have taken too long for you to have connected temptation with the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, we say. Why not? Is it because we're fearful of being tested? Well, I don't think it's so much that. What the Lord's Prayer reminds us is that we're unable to cope with temptation by ourselves. Think of the betrayal by Simon Peter. When it came to the first test, he tried by himself and betrayed Jesus. But once he'd accepted God at work in him through the Holy Spirit, it took him to becoming one of the leaders of the early church. Lead us not into temptation because we're inadequate by ourselves. Lead us not into temptation, but lead us to put our trust in our relationship with God. Think about the next line, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil, why? Because we need God with us. One final question for you to ponder. Why did Jesus go to the desert to be tempted? The answer, I think, can be found in the sequence of the events. He was baptized, he went into the wilderness, he returned, and then he started his ministry. So I think it wasn't a test like a driving test or a school exam or a hurdle to be jumped over. It was preparation for Jesus from which we can learn. Part of preparation before his ministry. To fulfill his calling, he had to listen and to accept God, to commit, to bring forward worries and place them into God's hands. And so we too need to bring ourselves to God, to bring everything to him, rather than deal with them ourselves. So I say, temptation doesn't always have to be seen in a negative light. So the next time someone places temptation in front of you, be it a large squidgy cream cake or something they want you to do, remember three things. Although we're tempted, we're free to choose. Through the temptation of Jesus, we worship a God who understands us. And that temptation, when we confront it, shows us our need to accept God and not to try and work out everything for ourselves. Temptation, rather than being a bad thing, does have a positive side, I think. We're free. We have a God with us. And so we have a God we can accept. Amen. Our next song is from YouTube, 10,000 Reasons. I understand it's the karaoke version, which means that you have permission to go out of tune as often as you like.
It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
I have an intercession and there's a response. Can I say, Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot live without you. Please can you say, give us each day our daily bread. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot live without you. Give us each day our daily bread. Lord, as we pause to pray, we ponder for a moment the meaning of wilderness. For some, it will be a time of pain and travail. For others, it will be a time of oasis and calm in a busy world. For others, it will be a space for development and change. Lord, whatever shape our wilderness is taking in this season of our lives, help us to know your presence throughout the journey. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot live without you. Give us each day our daily bread. Lord, we first consider the wilderness as a place of pain and difficulty, a desert place where nothing seems to be growing and life is hard. We pray for those in that season right now. We particularly remember those who are sick and lift to you Nigel, Frank, Mike, Sheila, to name but a few. You know, Lord, what their needs are. We remember those who are sad because someone has passed away and left a void in their lives. And we think of Frank's sister, Simon, and her son, Paul. And my dad's cousin, Christine. And Joan, Joshua, Holly, Carol, and the wider families. And Father, we pray for those who are just finding life tough for whatever reason. For each person named by myself out loud or in the hearts of others, we ask for your comfort and courage as they tread this difficult path. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot live without you. Give us each day our daily bread. We pray for situations in the news, places that are no longer in the news, but where poverty and hunger have been a reality for many, many years. Father, around the world, 648 million people live in extreme poverty, living on less than $2.15 a day. Half of these people live in five countries: Bangladesh, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, India, and Nigeria. And most of these families also live in a place of unrest. Lord, we so often feel helpless in the face of these global problems, But Jesus showed us a way to trust you. Help us to follow his example. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot live without you. Give us each day our daily bread. We also pray for those who are trying to find you, but keep getting pulled in other directions and are tempted away from following your path. We pray for those struggling with addiction, those in and out of prison, receiving no support upon release, so end up on the same old treadmill. Those who are homeless and feel they have no future. Lord, draw close to them, we pray. Help them to feel loved and wanted, and give them wells of living water. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot live without you. Give us each day our daily bread. Lord, we bring to you situations in our world that need the oasis of calm and peace. The continuing wars in Ukraine, Gaza, Democratic Republic of Congo, and other African countries, and other places in the world where there is unrest. Wars of words between world leaders, and we think especially of the showdown in the Oval Office between President Trump and President Zelensky. We pray, Lord, that hurts will be healed and support will be provided. We remember those in our community who need to find peace in a busy world. We pray for teachers, students, new parents, commuters, doctors and nurses, the emergency services, all those we know, and maybe even ourselves, who need this season to be a welcome time of rest. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot live without you. Give us each day our daily bread. Lord, we rejoice with those who are finding the wilderness a place of growth and joy right now. We pause to think of anything new we have learnt from you this week. What signs of new growth have we seen around us? Flowers blossoming, lambs being born, leaves springing into shoot. And what have we seen in our locality or on the news that has demonstrated new hope and potential for flourishing? Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot live without you. Give us each day our daily bread. Challenge us, Lord, at the start of this season of Lent to consider what we can do that will bring us closer to you. In the stillness now, we think of those situations where we could spend more time with you, but don't. Perhaps our phone is a little too close to hand. Maybe checking social media feeds is a little too tempting. Or are we just too wedded to our work to carve out time to be with you? Lord, we know that we cannot thrive without nourishment from you. Give us the wisdom to see what we can put aside for now. May searching for you be our deepest treasure, even though it is a lifelong journey. Forgive us the times when we are tempted away to seek more immediate gratification than spending time with you. Lord, we acknowledge we cannot live without you. Give us each day our daily bread. Lord, help us this week, whatever our circumstances, to look for signs of hope and newness, even in the tiniest of details. Help us to rejoice in even the seemingly insignificant achievements, getting out of bed when life is hard, running for that extra 2 minutes, getting that difficult maths problem right, smiling at the person on the checkout in the supermarket. Lord, you are with us in the big and small things of life. Help us to recognize your presence in everything we do, in everyone we meet, and wherever we go. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot live without you. Give us each day our daily bread. Amen. And we will now say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We'll now take up the offering for the work of the church.
The gifts of our thoughts, our prayers, our words, our actions in the weeks ahead. All we have comes from you. Accept then these our gifts. They may be used for the glory of your name, to bring your message of love, of peace, and reconciliation to all people. Amen. Creator God, you tell us that you will make a way in the wilderness. Help us to see that way. Guide us through the desert. Help us to find the oases so that we may flourish for you. Amen.